Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. This week's installment of Images of the Past finds us discussing the development of telephone networks in South Dakota. In the late 1800s, there was the Dakota Central Telephone Exchange. Sherry Rostern is curator of education at the Dakota Prairie Museum in Aberdeen, and she's joining us with more on that. Sherry, welcome. Thanks for being here.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
SDPB's Brian Gevick is with us as well, and we'll talk a little bit about Golden West with him in a minute. Welcome back, Brian.
Thanks. Thanks so much.
I want to start with you, Sherry, and take us back a little bit to some of those early decisions in South Dakota about connectivity, and who are the driving forces behind making that connection happen?
For our area, we have a gentleman by the name of J.L.W. Zitlow, an immigrant from Germany, to thank for starting out developing the telephone system in this northeastern corner of the state, but it got larger. Mr. Zitlow came over from Germany when he was only 17 years old. He was trained, his father had trained him to be a watchmaker, and he had very sensitive hands. You had to for that kind of a process. But the place where he was from in Germany, the town, was very small, and there was enough work for his father, but not for him. So he traveled at 17 all by himself to the United States and ended up in all places in Winona, Minnesota. And there he worked in a sawmill. And he had a pretty rough job, so he couldn't do the watchmaking anymore. He had, you know, banged his hands around quite a bit. He was also in an accident, which pretty much changed his life, and because of that accident, had to have his right arm amputated.
Oh.
Now, this is 1877. You know, it was a much different time than now with all the wounded warriors. You lost a leg, you lost an arm, you were pretty much done with life. But not Mr. Zitlow. He was right-handed. He relearned how to do everything, and that determination kept with him his entire life. What got him on the telephone bug, honestly, was when, in 1878, he had the two tin cans and a string, the one in between. And they had this set up in Winona, and he was totally fascinated by that. The next year, he had a chance to talk on a transmitter and receiver from Stillwater to Minneapolis. It was 30 miles away, and he was absolutely hooked. But it had a lot of imperfections, so he and another gentleman took one of the models that Alexander Graham Bell had used and discarded and completely changed it. And he had his own working telephone system. He came out first and was in a little town south of Aberdeen, but Aberdeen realized they wanted to be forward when it came to telephones. So in 1886, Aberdeen had telephone service in our town. We weren't connected to any of the bigger towns. We were first or second, depending on who you who you talk to, in the country for telephone service.
Yeah, and I want to pause on that story and bring Brian Gevick into this conversation, because the reason that this is always a fascinating story about the history of South Dakota, but Brian, now more than ever, we are thinking about connectivity in ways that are urgent, like never before.
Oh, absolutely. And it's just remarkable to think of how far we've come, you know, from the days when a guy could sit at his kitchen table and build a switchboard to the complicated networks that we have now and the kinds of services that they provide that, you know, as you say, we really can't do without.
Yeah.
You know, this is part of... Lori, you, go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. I just want to make sure that we get to this audio that we have from Denny Law. So let's set that up a little bit, and we'll talk a little bit more broadly, Brian, about what the SDPB is doing overall.
Okay. Golden West CEO Denny Law, he gave me a really concise summary of the telecommunications industry history. And looking to the future, he says he's really excited about how the industry may respond to what's being learned about communicating during a pandemic.
I think if you took a snapshot of where we are today, I think we're on the very front end of a very large telecommunications dynamic shift. So if you go back to the early 1900s as the example, obviously through the early 1900s it was connectivity voice purposes for small areas, and you had party lines, multiple people on a line. The 50s, the 1950s through maybe the early 70s or so, the party lines went away, and it was direct connections to individuals, but still primarily the focus was on voice through the 70s, through the 80s, and then the mid-90s started to get a little bit more into data, as well as wireless, obviously mobility started to really take off in the mid-90s or so. As we sit in 2020, I think we're on the front end of a very large shift as it relates to the role telecommunications networks and the applications on telecommunications networks are going to play for really, in my opinion, generations to come. The broadband applications, whether that be remote work, whether that be telemedicine, all of those types of applications, in addition to the consumer applications of movies and videos and social media. But you look at the work applications, I think we're just on the very front end of where those things are going to shift to for years to come. And I look forward to seeing that shift, quite frankly. I think it's going to have impacts that are going to be difficult to predict. Certainly, I wouldn't be able to predict them. At the same time, I think those same things have the possibility to be positive impacts for rural areas, particularly rural areas such as South Dakota, in terms of the dynamics that it assists with. It really removes, broadband removes distance as a barrier, quite frankly. And the more broadband that is available and the applications that customers have on it, the less distance is a barrier to things. And in South Dakota, given our sparseness, I think we're real used to distance.
Brian Gevick, when we hear Sherry's story and we hear Denny Law talk and we think about the time that we're living in today, what a really good time for a comprehensive look at connectivity in South Dakota. Tell us a little bit about this broader project that you're working on.
Well, the project is called The Middle of Nowhere, Connecting Rural South Dakota. And we're looking at all kinds of connectivity, particularly the kinds of things that changed and improved rural life, anything from telephones and rural electrification, now up through radio, television, and broadband internet, which is obviously the big thing right now. And looking closely at, you know, what are some of the challenges of bringing broadband to rural parts of South Dakota? And, you know, how are those challenges being met and eventually overcome? Some compare it very directly to the rural electrification efforts that started in the 30s and more or less completed in the mid-1960s here in South Dakota.
Yeah. And bouncing off of Sherry's story, Brian, there are other phone exchanges early on. She kind of mentioned being the first, but that just sort of depends on who you talk to. What can you tell us about that in our remaining minute?
Well, that is true, and that it does depend on who you talk to. There was a telephone exchange established in 1878, in Deadwood, and that was set up to essentially connect some of the downtown businesses to the mines. Homestake, in particular, was getting started at that time, and so that one really would have been the first in South Dakota. And keep in mind, the telephone had only been invented a couple of years before that. At that time, the White House did not even have a telephone. San Francisco did not have a telephone exchange. So it was really quite something.
Well, we look forward to learning more about this story in the weeks ahead. Sherry Rostern, thank you so much for being here. We appreciate your time.
Thank you for having me.
Brian Gevick, thanks as always. Where can people go online to sort of see some of these early stories, Brian?
That would be sdpb.org/connectingruralsd. One word, connectingruralsd.
Great work. Thanks, Brian. We'll see you next time.
Thanks, Laurie.